You're listening to Tail Chasing, home of the spine tingling, bump in the dark, bite my neck, and call me taken podcast. Urban fantasy for writers and readers.
Hi, this is Kimmy from Tail Chasing. It's January 26th. So, what are we doing today? Well, I've tried this 3 times, and I finally decided that I couldn't take it anymore. I read through a couple of blogs online, reviews of Laurel K. Hamilton's series, Anita Blake. I did that because I realized that after the first 2 reviews I did, which were very short, my intention had been to read each book and then to do a review of each as I went. However, I kind of got sucked in because it had been so long since I had read them that there was a lot that I didn't remember. So it was like reading the books for the first time. And you know how you feel when you get into a book that you've never read before. It's like, you know, only that world exists unless you have to go to the real world. So I got ahead of my reviews, finished all of them. I might have 1 or 2 short stories that she read or that she wrote to read, and I'm hoping so because I'm already jonesing for the next book. And so we're here, with me having read all of the books, and you having 2 reviews. I decided that I wanted to do, I wasn't going to do a review because there's so many opinions about if it's a good series, if it's a bad series, what is wrong with Anita, what's cool with Anita. I mean, in one review earlier, it says she's such a feminist, you know, that you shouldn't be shoving it down our throat, and that it would be nice if every woman she comes across isn't a sniveling little, you know, whatever, who can't fight her own fights. And that she doesn't take responsibility for any of the things that she does when it comes to her finding her power. And that makes me mad because I think that Laurel did a really good job of showing us and telling us why she got these powers. And let me tell you, if it was me that was in this book, first off, there's no way I could do the job that Anita does. I mean, she practically, Anita's a vampire killer, and, you know, and then she becomes a U.S. Marshal and goes after, you know, primarily preternatural killers, you know, like shapeshifters and stuff like that. So people who could, you know, really mess her up. And she's good at her job, and that's what she's supposed to be. That's what we're reading, is a kick-ass heroine who's good at her job. And you don't see it for a while. But she's not always completely this tough, kick-ass person. There are a couple of times when she breaks down and cries. And it shows her moral side, her compassionate side. You have to get into the books to get that, but it's only when she becomes more of a character and you're not going to get that deep into her character until you start reading the 3rd or 4th book, because that's when heartache opens her eyes. That's when she tries to let love in. Because, and that's something that people have a problem with, that she explores her sexuality later in the books. And a lot of people, and I think I did this for a while too, when I first read the books, thought it was just filler and she didn't have anything to write about, so she wrote about sex. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think she did two things when she wrote about sex. I think the first thing she did was find a way for Anita to get stronger in her abilities that was unique. The way she gets stronger is called the Odur. I'm probably saying that wrong, but anyway. And it's based off of sex. It just happens to be the vampire that she takes after happens to be, you know, he can feed off sex, which is a lot better than some of the other vampires she could have fed off in the book. You know, there's a vampire who feeds off fear. There's a vampire who rots on you. There's vampires who feed on pure lust, you know, who don't feed on love. They just feed on lust. You know, so there's some really evil characters in this book. I mean, I'm talking aside the zombies and the killer were-tigers and killer were-shifters and all of that. So that was the first thing I think she did with the sex. The second thing I think she did with the sex is to develop Anita's character more. Because it's like when we first start reading the Anita Blake books, she's got the maturity, really, of a teenager. And by the time we get to the middle of the book, she's got the maturity of a 25-year-old. And then by the end of the book, she's starting to really grow into her maturity and realize that she needs to compromise on some things and that, you know, there is more to her than just hacking and slashing and having sex. Because let me tell you, Anita is not happy about having sex any more than most of the people reading about it. She has a moral compass. And in her moral compass, good girls don't have sex. It's why she spends the majority of the books fighting the fact that she has to have sex in order to quote-unquote power up. And I don't feel like I'm giving a lot away. I feel like I'm being realistic and letting you guys know that there is a lot of sex in the book. And it's pretty kinky sex. I mean, there's some normal sex, but there's some kinky sex too. And I think that's personally myself, and this is just my own belief. This has nothing to do with anything I've read. Personally, I think Laurel, in her research for her books, found kink, and I think she explored it. And I think there were some things that she liked about it, like polyamory, which is having more than one person that you love. Now, generally, polyamory also means that's another person that you have sex with. But it's primarily more than one person having a relationship. And further in the books, Anita is having more and more relationships with all of these guys, and her moral compass is having a problem with it. How can she love all these guys? Is she capable of loving all these guys. She's not capable of casual sex. So, there's that side. Now, for the other side, the people who love horror, which is, I think, an even greater topic than a book full of sex. I don't think people will agree with me, but there's a lot of gore and horror in some of these books. And it seems to be once she starts involving more men, more relationships, it goes from a book about her needing to chase down a monster that's gory into a book that talks about her relationships, and then into a book that talks about, you know, goriness, and then into her relationship books. And I think that that's okay. I think anybody who's going to like these books is going to be happy about seeing how she deals with all the gory stuff and doing her job, and is going to be interested in her relationships and how they're going. And it doesn't matter that they're were-shifters, because all of her lovers are either vampires or were-shifters. And everybody calls her a monster because she starts out killing monsters. And then all of a sudden she realizes, hey, the monsters aren't that bad. We're not giving them enough credit. And sort of becomes a monster herself in some ways to herself. And becomes a monster to everybody else because she's, you know, she's quote-unquote sleeping with the monsters. Oh my god. You know? I wanted to share how I felt about the books, because I really think the books are worth reading. They're not standalone books, really. You really need to read them in the order that they were written, because otherwise you're going to miss different things. There'll be people in books that you don't know who they are because you missed the previous books that they were in. So it's really worth reading them one at a time and starting at Guilty Pleasures and going from there. So I'm going to tell you all of the books that you should read. Or maybe what I'll do is do them in the blog post, and you can come to my site and read the list. You can come to my site and get the list. You can come to my site and get Laurel's link. And I'd really like to know from anybody else, anybody who's read the series, anybody who reads the series off of my recommendation. You can have other opinions. You don't have to have my opinion. But I'd like to hear what other people think. So comment or, you know, write me an email at kamiko@kamiko-dreams.com. And that's the end of my little tirade on the Laurel K. Hamilton, Anita Blake books. Books 1 through 28. And hopefully the next books I read, I have some books I have to finish in some other series, which might confuse people, but I think we're all grown-ups, and I think that if it sounds interesting to you, you can go back and start from the beginning. So, that's my plan. I'm also looking for people who would like to be on the show and like to debate with me about books. We can, you know, pick a book and read it together and then come on the show and talk about what we liked, what we didn't like. If you're a writer, you know, we can talk about the writing part. If you're not a writer, we can talk about you know, just what we read. So give me a heads up, because I really want to do a podcast with a co-conspirator. So let me know. Sign up. Email me. I really want you guys to come on my podcast. Let's get this thing back on track and not so far apart.
That's it for this episode of Tail Chasing. Take a second and comment on the site, send me email, or leave me voicemail at 201-830-1586, because I love getting your feedback and hearing what you have to say on the subject we both love. And remember, if you're going to chase a tail, proper feeding and care is required. If you're lucky, it might curl up and call you home.